Well, amen. What a song. Have to think about that one. What a blessing. What a blessing to be at church on Sunday morning. Sunday's a special day in our lives. Firstly, because it's a day of rest. Well, for some of us, except for the bus workers and a few others around here that work really hard. But what a privilege God set one day aside to come together as believers with our extended family and worship Him. What a privilege it is to preach for Brother Smith. And for those of you who are wondering, you've been here a couple of weeks now and you're wondering when Dignity will return to this pulpit. It's not today. So you come back Wednesday night or next Sunday and Brother Smith will be back and we'll be back to our dignified selves. John chapter 3, verse number 1. I covet your prayers and remain seated for a minute. I'm leaving this afternoon. I'll be flying from here to Hong Kong to Manila, Iloilo to preach in a missions conference for Brother Rick Martin for 4 days. Then I'll be going to India for about 2 days, and then London, and then South America, and back home 11 days from now. So you pray for me. I'll be preaching to a whole lot of people. Brother Rick Martin's church on a Sunday night, and a lot of times there'll be 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people just sitting out looking at you, and it's an incredible thing. So pray that God would bless our trip. Pray for my wife. She's expecting our fifth child, and we already have four, and it gets a little rowdy around our house. So you pray for her that God would give her strength and grace through these next days. If you would, stand with me, John chapter 3, verse number 1. This morning in this room, there are three groups of people. Group number 1, you're a person in this room, and you know you're going to heaven when you die. The Bible says in 1 John, we may know that we have eternal life. And you're in this room and you don't wake up in the morning wondering where you're going if something was to happen to you. If you get on an airplane, you don't really care if something was to happen to you, because you know if you died, you'd be in heaven. Before they could put you in the ground, you'd be in Jesus a couple of days at least. And you're not worried about that. Somewhere back in your past, there was a time you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're a Christian. You're born again. Praise the Lord for that. But there's a second group of people in this room this morning. That's the people you don't know. In fact, you know you're probably going to hell if you die. There are folks who go through their whole life and they're just waiting for that right moment. They know if something was to happen to them, they are unsure and scared about what happens, and they're just waiting for that right time. But you know for sure you're not going to heaven. You perhaps have contemplated eternity without Jesus Christ, and it's not a pretty picture. The Bible describes eternity apart from Christ as a literal hell, a place devoid of anything good, a place that was created for the devil and his angels. But you don't know where you're going. But there's a third group in here. And this group of people, you don't know if you're going to heaven. You don't know if you're going to hell. You just don't know. Maybe nobody's ever explained to you the gospel. Maybe you've never even taken time in your life. Maybe you're a young person and you've never really seriously considered eternity. But the Bible teaches in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can leave here today with the no-so salvation. You can walk out those doors a believer. You can walk out those doors knowing for sure if you were to pass away tonight, you'd go to heaven. But three groups of people in this room, and I want to try to be a blessing to all three. John chapter 3, verse number 1 says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And by the way, nowadays in our society, you could say born again, and 30 years ago, everybody know what you're talking about. But nowadays, you say born again, they're thinking, what's that? Some kind of spiritual renewal? And Jesus said, you can be born again. And Nicodemus asked, well, how can you do that? Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. By the way, that's not talking about baptism there. Every once in a while, somebody will grab that verse and they'll say, oh, there it is. Water baptism, essential for salvation. That's talking about when you're born physically, a water birth, if you will. Born of water and of the Spirit, the second birth. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, by the way, that corresponds, the water birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse number 7, the text verse for today's message. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, bless the message this morning. And I pray that if there's somebody here today that doesn't know, that they'd walk out those doors with the assurance of your Holy Spirit in their life. And I pray, God, that you'd give me wisdom as I present this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I want to try to illustrate this principle of being born again very simply today, and I'm going to need some help. So I've got some folk that are going to help me. So if the guy back here with object number one could come out, I'd appreciate it very much. Look, a potted plant carrying a potted plant. There are four forms of life, just four on planet Earth. Form number one is plant life. You drive down the road, and by the way, God made it all. Everything that you see, every beautiful flower, even the, well, not the fake ones, but anything that you see that's living and breathing, God made that. God created that in the book of Genesis in a literal creation. But form number one is plant life. Well, I need my second form of life, if you'll come out, object two. I told you, dignity will return next Sunday to Trinity Baptist Church. Now, the cat looks a little afraid and looks a little bit feeble. She had five babies about 2 weeks ago, and she's still a recovering mother. Come right on over here. It's okay. That's Mama Kitty at our house. But form number one of life is plant life. Form number two is animals. The tigers, the lions, the upset cats, they're all a form of life. But form number one, plant life. Form number two, animal life. Brother Ben Riley, come up here and help me for a second. Can you come help me? You're not going to pass out on me, are you? Come on up. Form number three on planet Earth is human life. Well, I tell you what, Ben, why don't you go sit down? Brother Downs, come help. Well, yeah, you just stay here. We could get worse. But there are four forms of life. Number one, plant life. Number two, animal life. Number three, human life. And by the way, there is a difference between human life and plant life. There's a difference between human life and animal life. A human life is a human. It's got a soul given to it by God. And no matter what you may read or hear about in the news media, when a person is born, when they're conceived, they are a soul. And it makes them uniquely different from animals, from plants. And there is a difference. If I go cut down a tree in California, God bless you, that's bad. But it's not like aborting a baby. If I want to go make lunch out of some turnip greens out of my garden, that's a plant. By the way, there's a difference between a baboon and a human. So I said there's animal life, and then there's plant life, and then there's human life, but there's a fourth form of life. It's called spirit life, the spiritual life. You say, I don't believe that. You can't see it. Well, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That, listen, you say, I've never seen God. That's right. He's a spirit. You can't see Him with your fleshly eyes, but there is a spiritual world out there. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So this morning, there's a war going on that you can't see with your human eye. There is a spiritual warfare on planet Earth. And by the way, that's the only way you can explain some of the nonsense you see on planet Earth. The things that go on, and you hear about people driving a bus up in a crowd of children and strapping explosives on their back. There is a spiritual war going on behind the scenes of good against darkness, against light against darkness. And it's going on right now. But there are four forms of life. Number one, plant life. Say it with me. Ready? Plant life. Number two, animal life. Number three, human life. Number four, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let's do that one more time. Number one, plant life. Number two, animal life. Number three, amen. All right, I wanted to hear that again. See, somebody said I was spiritual, honey. I said number one, point number one, there are four forms of life. Number two, none of these can be promoted to a higher one. I want you to listen to what I'm saying right now. None of these can be promoted to a higher form of life. Now this plant right here, that plant's going to be a plant. Now I can take some cat food, I got some right here, and I could dump this cat food in that plant, but no matter what I do, that plant is never going to become a cat. You just can't do it. It is an impossibility. You can't, listen to me, I can take it to a laboratory up in Iowa somewhere where all good genetic laboratories are for plants, and I could make it a better plant. I could make it a disease-resistant plant. I could make it a stronger plant. I could fertilize it. But let me tell you something, I could put that plant in a doghouse. But no matter what I do to that plant, or no matter where I put that plant will never become an animal. Never. By the way, same is true about animals. I could take this cat and find a better cat, make a better strain of cats, stronger cats, smarter cats. I could feed it a steak. Would you like that? You'd like anything right now. But I could take that cat, I could give it a steak. I could teach that cat some manners. I could reform that cat. You know, there are certain things you can teach a cat to do. You can teach it a little bit more human. But let me tell you something. No matter what I do, if I feed it human food, if I put that cat in my house, in the final analysis of that cat's life, it will always remain a cat. It won't become a human. And if it does, you better run. By the way, the same thing is true about the human life. There is nothing that you can do to take a human being and make it spiritual. I could take this man up here and I could put him in that baptistry 55,000 times. And when he gets out, he's going to be a wet human. I could make him a better man. Listen to me. I could teach him how to be decent. I could teach him how to be kind. I could teach him how to love people. I could teach him all that. But in the final analysis, no matter what I do to that man, I might make him a smarter man. I might make him a better built man. That wouldn't take much. I can improve that man. I can make him I can give him influence all over the world. He could become the richest man on planet Earth. He could become the nicest man on planet Earth. But no matter what he does or what I do to him, he'll still be a man. I said point number one, there are four forms of life. Point number two, none of these can be promoted to a higher one. Point number three, listen to me. Each must be born to its own life. This is not rocket science, but I'm having a good time. Each must be born to its own life. See that plant right there? Somehow there was a seed that was pollinated. Maybe it was a commercial grower. But it was a plant because it was conceived a plant. Somewhere way back in this cat's past, two cats, somewhere, they had a cat. It was born a cat. Listen to me, if you saw two cats and you ended up with a dog, that'd be strange, right? But there's a cat. And somewhere back in way back in the past, this young man was born. Two parents fell in love with each other. Listen to me. And they had a child and he was born a human being. Just like that plant was a plant because it was born a plant. Just because that cat was, the reason it's a cat is because it was born a cat. He's a human because he was born a human. And I want to tell you something. If you're going to become spiritual, you're going to have to get born again. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you very much, gentlemen. You can go right out the back door. Thank you very much. Now, the title of the message this morning is Why Be Born Again. Why be born again? Listen to me. Because the body can't live forever. This week I went to the funeral of one of my dearest friends on planet Earth. He was one of the best men I ever met in my life. Never heard him badmouth anybody. Never heard him talk ugly about anybody. He got saved. And listen to me, he was a hard-living, happy man. And his wife told me, Mr. Camp, the day he got saved, he quit drinking. He quit swearing. He quit smoking. And listen to me, anything good about his life he kept. Any bad habit he lost. You say, how does that happen? Because he got born again. I want you to listen to me today. Your body cannot live forever. All things being equal, there's coming a time when you've got a date with this altar right here. And it's not to put your knee down at this altar and ask God to forgive your sins, but it's another kind of date, one that you will not avoid, and that's your date with death. And sometime coming in your future, and we don't even like to think about, I don't like to think about death. I'm not one of these persons who contemplates my own death and what's going to happen, but it's coming. and you've got a date with death, your body cannot live forever. You say, well, Brother Reed, you don't understand. I could take my own life if I wanted to. That's right. You could kill this body, but the real you will go on living somewhere forever. Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, you'll live forever somewhere. And no matter what you do to this body, you've got a soul that will exist as long as there is time, and you've got to be born again. Your body cannot live forever. You see, your body has you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. There's three parts to you. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God told Adam, on the day that you eat that tree, what's going to happen? Ye shall surely what? Die. You're going to die. Now let me ask you a question. When Adam reached up and grabbed that fruit, did his physical body die? No, the Bible says God put a cherub and drove him out of the garden, so he kept on living. But God made Adam a promise that your spiritual body is going to die. So something died on Adam that day, and it was a spirit. In the Garden of Eden, when he reached up, he grabbed that fruit, he took a bite of it, and the Bible says that moment his spirit died. But he still had a body and a soul. I want you to listen to me. By the way, the Bible says this, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that was able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Can I tell you something today, folk? If your spirit's not brought back to life, you're going to spend forever in eternity without God. You'll go on living forever. You're going to go on living forever somewhere. Well, you say, Brother Reed, if my body can't live forever, how can I be born again? Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse number 23, it says this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, the first birth, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God said if your spirit is going to be brought back to life, it's going to be because there was another seed. You say, what is that seed? That's that book right there. That's why it's so important. In this book, I find how I can live somewhere forever. It is the seed that brings us eternal life. The Word of God is what allows us to live somewhere forever. So what's the seed? Very simply this. Number one, all of us are sinners. Now, listen to me. You may not be able to identify any sin in your own life, but just ask your wife. And by the way, you probably don't have to look very hard to find it if you want to. We're sinners. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous. Let me tell you something. You say, well, I'm a good person. I'm glad you're a good person. Man, there's a lot of mean people in Arlington and on planet Earth for the whole world. But can I tell you something? Being a good person is not going to get you from a human to spiritual. We are all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. Let me tell you what you do. If you want to find out if you're really righteous or not, don't compare yourself to Brother Reed or Brother Davis or Brother Smith or Brother Todd or Brother Cliff. Here's what you do. You take your measuring stick and you compare yourself to God. And if you look closely at Him and find out He never one time sinned, He never one time uttered a bad word, He never one time harbored a bad spirit, He never one time did anything, He lived a perfect life. Sometime when you get thinking you're a good person, measure yourself up against that. You know what you're going to find? You're a sinner. First part of the seed is all of us are sinners. Number two, sinners are under the condemnation of God. I said sinners are under the condemnation of God. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell. The wages of sin is death. When that spirit, listen to me, when it died in the Garden of Eden, that fallen nature was passed on to you in your genes. And if you don't get that spirit brought back to life, listen to me, you'll spend forever separated from God in hell. The Bible says, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. Now that verse is interesting. It teaches that you're not just under God's condemnation when you die. It said the wrath of God abideth on him. You know what that means? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, right now you're living under God's wrath. We all listened to that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. We read it when we were going through high school. And Jonathan Edwards eloquently described your state as a natural man. It's just like a spider web over hell. You say, I'm a good man. But if that spirit is not brought back to life, it doesn't matter how good you are, how intelligent you are, how bright you are, how rich you are. You're just like a spider thread away from hell. Because that spirit has not been brought back to life. So number one, all of us are sinners. Number two, sinners are under the condemnation of God. Number three, listen to me, the penalty has been paid already. The Bible says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that man, listen to me, that fallen nature that I inherited, that part of me that's sinful, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to me, you know what that means? You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to spend forever separated from God. Jesus paid it all. You say, did He pay everything? He paid every last bill. God is so good. Not only did He pay my sin in the past, not only did He pay the sin I committed yesterday, He paid them all in the future. He knew every sin I commit. And then when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, He paid that account in full, and I don't have to answer for any of those sins anymore. The penalty has been paid already. Imagine yourself with a Visa card, going to a store and doing some compulsive shopping, swiping that thing over and over and over, and just having the time of your life. Now, it's a good time until about 24 days later, you open the mailbox, and there's that bill. I got news for you. As a four-year-old boy, I realized I'd been swiping my Visa card, and I would continue to swipe it my whole life. And there's no way I could have ever paid that bill. But I saw for the first time in my life a Savior. He said, I paid that bill already. You just got a sign here. Now, I wasn't real bright when I was 4 years old, but I had enough sense to know that when I signed that, He took my sins. He paid my bill. And when I open the mailbox today, you know what's in there? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks at me, He doesn't even see my old sinful past. He doesn't see the sin I'm going to commit in the future. He looks down and sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ because I'm His and He paid my bill. He paid yours, by the way. Number one, all of us are sinners. Number two, sinners are under the condemnation of God. Number three, the penalty has been paid already. Number four, you must accept Jesus as your payment for sin. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what salvation is? It's saying yes. It's looking at your past and realizing what you are without Christ, and in your future and what you would be without Christ, and seeing that somebody has stepped up and said, I'll take care of that. And turning from this and looking up here and say, I'll take that. That's all it is. It's faith in a person. And if you want to get born again, you've got to take this supernatural seed. Listen to me. You must accept Jesus as your payment for sin. Now, I want to make you aware of something. You've got two choices this morning. You can either let Jesus pay for your sin, or you can pay for it yourself. You can walk out of this door and pay your own bill. Now, what's the bill for that, Brother Reed? Well, it's very simple. God spells it out in Scripture. The bill for your sin is eternity in hell separated from God. The Bible uses two words, eternal death. Eternity without Christ. Or you can decide, I'm going to accept that payment for my sin and let Jesus pay it for you. Why be born again? Number two, what happens when you get born again? Well, I like what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you get saved, you get regenerated. Your spirit is brought back to life. And he said, you got some new stuff coming to you. And I like new stuff. I like new smelling car seats. You know what I'm talking about? But I got something better than new smelling car seats. You say, what, Brother Reed? Number one, you got a new father. And I love my father. He's on the platform today, and I love him very much, and he's a good man. But can I tell you something? When we analyze it, he's a sinner just like I am. The Reed name is a good name. I've got an aunt here today. I've got a grandpa that's been serving the Lord for years. My brother's in the ministry. It's a good name, but it's not a good enough name to get me into heaven. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I got a new father. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Reed? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Listen to me, you're not looking at just another human being this morning. You're looking at a son of God. You say, you don't look like much. You can't see the real me. The real me is the Son of God. The real me is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm a Christian. When I wake up in the morning, I don't feel that. Listen to me. While we're on planet Earth, we have to, by faith, accept that Jesus has renewed us on the inside and that God sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But one day, I'm going to drop this body and I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and I'm going to know Him. And I'll see the real me. You get a new father. Not only that, you get a new family. You say, who's your family? I'm looking at it this morning. I'm preaching to it all next week. All over planet Earth, I got a family. Just like my own blood brothers and sisters, we've been bought into the same family. We have the same Father. We serve a great God. And listen to me, I got a new family. Number three, listen to me, I got a new future. Famous pastor says this, I got a life worth living and a future worth looking forward to. What are you talking about, Brother Reed? You know what my future was? It stunk. I could have made enough money. I could have lived enough. Listen to me, it didn't matter what I did with my life. My future stunk. But when I knelt down as a four-year-old boy and said, Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. When I stood up, I had a new future. You know what? This morning, you can walk out those doors with a new future. You say, you don't know my past, Brother Reed. I was a bad person. I've got things that people in this church don't know about. I've got situations. I've got difficulties. And if you knew everything about me, you wouldn't like me. You know, probably you're right. But can I tell you this? There's a God in heaven that knows everything about you. And He said, come on. Come on. You got a new future. Not only that, you got a new friend. You say, what are you talking about this morning, Brother Reed? What a friend we have in Jesus. Every once in a while, no matter how close family is, there are times in our life when there's nobody to go to. Even the best family has to take time and take care of other responsibilities. There's difficulties. There's hospitals. There's difficulties that come up in our marriages and our home. But can I tell you something? No matter the difficulty you face, I'll make you a promise this morning. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have to face one of those difficulties alone. What a friend. I got a new friend. You don't have to live alone anymore. I said, number one, why be born again? Number two, what happens when you get born again? Number three, who can get born again? Well, the Bible is very clear. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth. Are you here this morning? Can you hear me? Let him that heareth. Let's find out what him that heareth is supposed to do. Come. Walk down those aisles. You say, I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. Come. Just come. Find your way down to the end of that altar or the end of an aisle. There'll be a man standing there. He can show you how you can get that regenerated spirit. Come. And let him that is athirst come. You thirsty this morning? This world has a way of drying us out. And then I like this next phrase. And whosoever will. Let him take of the water of life freely. Now, I'm not a bright English person, but can I tell you this? I understand the word whosoever. You know what whosoever means? That's you. Whosoever is anybody in this room. Listen to me. God said, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your past, doesn't matter your present, no matter what you've done, doesn't matter, listen to me, if you're a nobody or a somebody, or listen to me, everybody knows you, or you're just a speck of humanity that crosses our planet. Whosoever will, may come. John 3:16. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Now I have a real problem with people who teach that only certain people can be whosoever. Because I kind of understand whosoever mean anybody. You say, I was in church and that preacher said there's a certain group over here, the elect, and then there's the unelect. Whosoever, listen to me, whosoever means everybody. Elect, unelect, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't matter. Whosoever is anybody. Next, when should I be born again? It will be done. Now. Now. You want to get your spirit brought back to life? You want to be born again? Take that four parts of the seed that we talked about. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:2. For He said, I have heard thee in the time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That means I drew you. Behold, now
is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You say, I've been putting it off. Take care of it right now. You say, I've been waiting for the right moment. The right moment is now. You say, I've been waiting for a beautiful day with my family here. Now. Now. Don't wait another moment. I'll close with this. I was preaching up in B Junior Church, I guess Brother Dockery, 3-4 years ago now. Brother Dockery is a bus captain over in the Grand Prairie area. 3 or 4 rows back, two girls came in and sat on that second pew right about there. Sweet little girls. There's a sea of chaos and two sweet girls. You know they're visitors. Got done preaching, I believe at least one or both of them came down and got saved, accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They understood that the timing was right. It was a now situation. I was working at my house the next morning. Brother Dockery picked up the phone and said, Brother Reed. I said, yes, sir. He goes, I got a call last night, this morning. We brought two visitors on our bus last week. They got saved. I said, that's great. He said, last night their house burned. And both of those little girls died. And I was sad for a second, but then I realized they understood what now meant. And that overwhelming grief I felt was replaced by a sense of peace, knowing that those were some smart young girls. They didn't put off. They didn't wait for the right moment, the right feeling, the right set of circumstances. They didn't walk up and say, Brother Reed, we'd like to get saved now, but I want to wait till I get a little bit older so I understand it better and everything makes perfect sense. Can I tell you something? The Bible teaches if you don't come with the faith of a little child. You might be the best man in Arlington, Texas. But if you've not been born again, you'll die in your physical body and spend eternity in a place called hell because your spirit was never born again. But you can take care of that today. Right now. Let me also say this. If you're born again, what an awesome thing. What an awesome thought. I've been born into the family of God. I'll sing it. I'll shout it wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow since I have been born again. Don't waste your life on stuff that doesn't matter. You've been born into the family of God. Your Father is a king. Live like it. Represent Him well. Be good to His family. Every once in a while, we get in little tiffs at a church our size. It happens. But we're in the same family. I put my arm around Doug Fugate, and I put my arm around family. We can forgive people. You say, I've been done wrong. But we're family. Lord, I pray that You'd bless the service. I pray that Your will would be done in the invitation. I pray that Your Spirit would have free reign in the hearts of people even now. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here today and you say, Brother Reed, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have been saved.